Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and ArrowheadAddict.com. This Christmas, we're getting an evening present as the Denver Broncos are coming to Kansas City to play the Kansas City Chiefs in prime time. All I want for Christmas is for that game to go well and for the Raiders to somehow lose to the Colts or lose next week, because the Chiefs currently are the fifth seed in the AFC. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. On this episode, we're going to preview that Chiefs-Broncos game. We're going to talk about Justin March and Jamaal Charles. Justin March is returning from the injured reserve, which means that Jamaal Charles is not. We'll talk about what that means, a little bit about what the Chiefs are going to do at quarterback going forward, my current thoughts on Alex Smith and Andy Reid. Last show, I spent a lot of time on Andy Reid. This show, I spent a little bit more time on Alex Smith. Plus, who is not practicing right now for the Kansas City Chiefs? Justin Houston is the man that I'm concerned about, but he's been ineffective. What's going on with him? All that and more. Here we go. Let's start with the news of the week. The Chiefs designated inside linebacker Justin March Lillard to return from injured reserve. And what this means is that Justin March is coming off of the injured reserve. That's great news. We're happy about this because the Chiefs need more depth at inside linebacker. The loss of Derek Johnson is a big one. The Chiefs did okay against the Titans last week, but they were able to run the ball pretty effectively. The return of March is a good thing. If that was all that the story was about, we would all be happy that March is coming back. Maybe he can bring a little bit of experience back to a very inexperienced inside linebacker group here. The problem is that this means that Jamaal Charles will not be returning. And there was some speculation before this move that Charles would likely return in January for the playoffs if Justin March was not activated or if no one else was designated to return. It would have been March, though. If no one else was designated to return, it could have been Jamaal Charles. Most of this reporting was coming from Ian Rappaport. And then after Justin March was designated to return, Ian Rappaport tweeted this. He said, quote, "Had the Chiefs not brought linebacker Justin March Lillard off IR, running back Jamaal Charles likely would have been cleared to practice next week and play in January." And that's really interesting. But here's what I think we have to kind of set that against some other evidence. Andy Reid never discussed Charles as a real option to return. He was even asked about those original reports that Charles was on his way back, and Reid said he hadn't heard that. He was making no comment about Charles' ability to return. If I had to guess at this point, I'd say that those Rappaport reports are coming from the Jamaal Charles camp, and it's kind of a leading towards, hey, Jamal's going to be fine. He wants to play this year if he can get on the field and show people he's healthy, because he's got to get paid next year. He's got to be on a roster next year. He wants to show teams for next year. Because right now Charles is a guy who barely got on the field at the beginning of the season and got hurt and then didn't come back. Or, you know, missed a chunk of the beginning. You're looking at a guy who had two catastrophic knee injuries in the last year and a half or whatever. It's going to be hard for anybody to pay him without knowing what they're going to be getting from him. So I think Charles wanted to get back on the field in the playoffs to show people that he's still Jamaal Charles, but he's not going to. And I think that this is probably the right move for the Chiefs, just knowing what they know. If he was ready to return, especially after the Titans game, I tweeted this. I don't remember if I talked about it on the show. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. I don't remember if I talked about it on the show on Monday, but I said one thing the Titans game really showed me is that I would rather have Jamaal Charles back than Justin March. The Chiefs have a weakness at inside linebacker without Derek Johnson and without Josh Malga, but it's not as glaring of a weakness as the run game. In fact, there was a really great stat that came out. I talked about on Monday, the Chiefs cannot run to the right side. That's been a problem all year. Well, Jeff Ratcliffe tweeted out a chart that was ranking the offensive lines in football essentially by yards before contact per rushing attempt. So this is basically giving a metric for how good an offensive line is at run blocking. And this is going to come back to Jamaal Charles here in a second. But of these metrics, the Chiefs were sixth worst in football trying to run the ball to the right side and second best trying to run to the left. So what that means is, if I can get the chart to load here, the Chiefs are averaging 1.67 yards per rushing attempt before being contacted. But they're averaging 2.8 to the left side and 0.95 yards to the right side and just 1.36 yards when they run up the middle. The Chiefs can run left very successfully, but they cannot go right, and they really struggle to go up the middle. This is the kind of reason, these are the kind of reasons that I want Jamaal Charles back so badly, or wanted him back, and hoped that he would return. I'm not upset at the Chiefs because I'm thinking they also would have rather had Jamaal Charles back if they thought he was at all a reasonable option to return. And it, right now it just really sounds like he wasn't. But man, those stats are damning. And it, what it looks like now is Spencer Ware is pretty good at getting yards after contact. But it's really hard to be a running back and to get hit after 1 yard and then be expected to pick up 4 or 5. That's just borderline inhuman. Jamaal Charles is very good at avoiding that contact, even when the offensive line isn't very good at it. And then even he, in his prime, was able to break tackles in a way that I think he was actually underrated in his tackle-breaking ability. But Charles is not returning now, and we have to shift our focus to fixing the run game in some other way. This deep into the season, 15 games into the season, 15 weeks into the season, I'm a little bit concerned. I'm a lot concerned that hasn't been solved yet. I think it might have been the most glaring on Sunday against the Titans when the Chiefs just could not pick up 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 at the goal line or in the middle of the field, wherever. And we've berated Andy Reid for, you know, at the goal line having Dontari Poe catch a pass or having Travis Kelce run a little sweep thing. I've said, you know, those are great plays when they work, but I hate them all the time because they're just very risky whenever you should be able to give the ball to Spencer Ware to get your 1 yard. That's how that should always work. Well, Andy Reid, to my understanding, to my sensibilities, has been calling the right plays lately. He called the right plays against Tennessee, although they ran the ball to the right too often. But he was calling the correct plays. He was doing the correct thing, saying, all right, we need a yard. Let's block. Let's get a little bit of push. Let's push 3 feet. And then give the ball to Spencer Ware. Don't let him get hit in that first yard. He'll break through for another couple inches. And this is a touchdown. This is a first down, whatever we need. But the Chiefs' offensive line has totally failed to do that. That's just not been in their playbook to be successful that way. And that's discouraging. That's deeply discouraging and deeply concerning. You have to be able to pick up those short yardage conversions. And I don't have any confidence in saying, all right, well, instead of running for it on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, just spread them out wide, go 4 wide, and have Alex Smith throw a little slant to Jeremy Maclin. I don't have any great confidence in that. Now, I would rather see him throw a slant to Travis Kelce or maybe Jeremy Maclin than to see Spencer Ware run it to the right side. But to be completely incapable of picking up any yards there, that's concerning to me. That's deeply, deeply concerning. So the Chiefs' run game is one of the things that I am currently most pessimistic about. And I have some major pessimisms, if I can make up a way to use the word pessimism. I have some major pessimisms about the Chiefs at this point. Let's talk about the quarterback position for a second. As I mentioned in the intro, I also tweeted this. Somebody tweeted me and said, like, I feel dirty reading these articles about Drew Brees coming to the Chiefs next year and how he would be a good fit or whatever. And I tweeted him back and said, yeah, that's bad. That's bad for your health. Don't do that. Don't tease yourself. But could you tweet me that link so I could read it also? Make sure, you know, it's not totally. I just would like to know what's going on. You know, maybe I can imagine a little bit. Maybe I can suspend disbelief for a moment and think, oh, what would Drew Brees do on this team? So I started reading articles about who the next Chiefs quarterback should be. I've begun to lust over Drew Brees and Tony Romo, and I've done my peeking at a few early mock drafts where the Chiefs go quarterback in the first round. And with all of that, I think you could say that I've given up on Alex Smith. But I think I've given up on Alex Smith because I've given up on Andy Reid. And this goes back to what I talked about last week, but I think it'll resonate more with some of you who talked about this really being more on Alex Smith than Andy Reid. I think it depends on your starting point. In a vacuum, I think Alex Smith can do enough to win a Super Bowl with a good team around him. I really do. In an Andy Reid-shaped vacuum, in a universe where you are starting with the Chiefs having Andy Reid, then I don't think it's going to work. And this is these last few weeks of having some really, really flawed offensive showing. This whole season, the Chiefs haven't really put together two good halves this season. I'm finally feeling like I've been appropriately beaten down by seeing all of this over and over. And so if you're starting with Andy Reid as your starting point with the Chiefs, I think it goes back to that idea that Alex Smith is going to do whatever Andy Reid asks of him, and he's probably going to execute it properly. He's had some failed executions so far this year. You can come back and find something from every game. The interception against the Titans, a couple of missed passes. If those go better, if those are touchdowns and completions, the Chiefs probably win that game. I would also contend that if Andy Reid had Tyreek Hill on the field and maybe gave Tyreek Hill more than one carry, found ways to put the ball in Tyreek Hill's hands, the Chiefs would have won that game. So you can blame the... You should be putting some of the responsibility of the offense on the quarterback and the coach. But at this point, it's going to be easier to win with Andy Reid and a different quarterback than it is with Alex Smith and a different head coach. Because let's just entertain for a moment. Andy Reid is fired at the end of the season, or Andy Reid retires at the end of the season. You go bring in Josh McDaniels, or Kyle Shanahan, or Tom Coughlin. Todd Haley is apparently getting some head coaching looks again. You bring in one of those guys, and you say, "All right, here's Alex Smith. Do your thing." I don't think any of those guys are gonna get their system installed quickly enough. I don't think Alex Smith is going to get invested in that much. I would have a very hard time seeing Kyle Shanahan come to Kansas City and be like, "All right, sure, Alex Smith is fine." I think that'd be very, very difficult. I think it'd be a little bit easier to change quarterbacks. Because we also know that Alex Smith is not the ceiling of the quarterback position in the NFL. Andy Reid is closer to the best coach than Alex Smith is close to being the best quarterback. So if you're going to stick with Andy Reid as your head coach, then no, I'm starting to think that Alex Smith can't win a Super Bowl with his Chiefs team. But it's a little bit less about Alex Smith than it is about Andy Reid. Because Alex Smith doesn't defy Andy Reid. Alex Smith is not going to say, "All right, coach, I hear your play. I'm going to do something different that I think we need to do because I'm on the field here shouting at the play calls. I'm here looking at the field. I'm here reading the safety." I think Alex Smith is smart enough to do all of that, but I just genuinely don't think he wants to. And even in the preseason, TJ Carpenter from 810 was talking to Alex Smith about the the two-minute drills. And he said, "Wouldn't it be better if you were calling the plays and there wasn't so much relaying of the play calls, and couldn't there be a faster pace in the two-minute drill, yada, yada, yada?" And Alex Smith said no. He said, "No, I think it's better that Andy Reid calls the plays and puts them in my ear. That way I don't have to think about it. I don't have to contend with thinking up the plays and calling the plays and then executing the plays. I just get the play and then I execute it." Well, Andy Reid is on the sideline. He's going to call the wrong play plenty of times. And I think if Tom Brady is out there, he's going to say, "No, no, 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 I see something different now that coach wasn't expecting. Let's do this differently." Alex Smith is not that type of quarterback. That's just not what he is. And I don't think that's some hideous sin on Alex Smith. It's just not what he is. And I don't know if you can win that way. And it's because Andy Reid is only going to try to win that way that I'm concerned. If Alex Smith was given the reins completely, I think it's about the pairing of the two. If Alex Smith was totally given the reins, maybe this team is better offensively. But the combination of Alex Smith being willing to defer power to Andy Reid and Andy Reid wanting that power, it just ends up being Alex Smith being an extension of Andy Reid, and that's not good enough right now. Plus, Andy has all sorts of other issues, like with the personnel and getting Tyreek Hill into the game and drawing up more plays for Travis Kelce. And then Alex Smith has his issues of not getting the ball to those guys enough. But this duo, this Alex Smith-Andy Reid duo, I don't see them winning anything meaningful. And my evidence for that, it's not just blind pessimism. It's not just my cynical nature that I've developed as a Chiefs fan because I've been rooting for the team for, you know, my entire 21 years. It's because these last 15 weeks, I just keep seeing failures on the offensive side of the ball. And it's the quarterback, and it's the head coach, and it's the two offensive coordinators, which I can just not get over because no one else does that, and the offense sucks. The offense is terrible. The time the offense is the best is whenever the fifth-round pick gets the ball somehow. And in a lot of those cases, those are plays drawn up by Andy Reid, and they're executed by Alex Smith, and I get it. That's great. But it's just not happening enough. And I think at this point, the Chiefs are going to have to go away from the Smith-Reid duo. I think most people could agree with that. I don't know if there are a lot of Chiefs fans who are out there thinking, you know what? We just need to give Smith and Reid a couple more years. I don't think I've heard any Chiefs fans saying that. And if you think that, tweet me. Let me know. And let me know why you think that. But at this point, I'm looking, after this season's over, barring something unforeseen, I think the Chiefs have to start going in a direction of splitting up that duo, and it's going to be way easier to get rid of Alex Smith than it is to bring in Andy Reid. So, like I said, I think I've given up on Alex Smith. And I think I've given up on Alex Smith because I'm giving up on Andy Reid. Oh, and by the way, the Chiefs are going to beat the Broncos on Sunday. Denver Broncos at Kansas City Chiefs, prime time Sunday night football on Christmas night. What a gift. The Chiefs beat the Broncos in Denver last time they played, a handful of weeks ago. And the Broncos offense looked pretty good then. And the Chiefs offense did enough at the end. Last week, checking in on both teams, the Broncos scored 3 points against the Patriots in Denver. And the Chiefs could not do a single thing in the second half as they lost to the Titans. The teams have looked different these last couple of weeks. And I think it's going to come down to recreating something from last game and then doing some things differently. Starting off, though, Justin Houston and Philip Gaines have not been practicing this week. Neither of them practice on Thursday. Justin Houston has been ineffective since the last Broncos game. I mean, he really has been a non-factor. Neither has Dee Ford. Since Dee Ford's injury and when Justin Houston came back, it's been really ugly. Chris Jones has been effective as a defensive end. I think he's been up there with the top pressures from a 3-4 defensive end since week 8, I believe is the stat. He's been the best at that. He's been fantastic, and as a rookie, no less. But the Chiefs have to get pressure from those edge guys, and it can't be from Tom Bahali and Frank Zombo. I don't know if something just changed for Dee Ford since Houston got back, but obviously Dee Ford was having a great, great season, and he's been totally silent. Justin Houston had a huge game against Denver, and he's been very quiet. I am tangibly concerned about both of those guys. If they're not getting pressure this game, chalk it up. I mean, it's worthless. But there has to be pressure on Trevor Siemian. He's back. And again, last week, the Patriots against the Broncos just totally shut them down. Denver's run game has really struggled lately. Really, all season, it struggled. And you might be able to tie that to Peyton Manning somehow. When Peyton Manning was under center, he was able to call up the right run plays. But also the Broncos have had serious injury issues at the running back position. As an illustration, their leading rusher this year is Devin Booker, who has 155 carries for 528 yards. For comparison, Spencer Ware has over 200 carries, 201, for 859 yards. And Spencer Ware has not had a great season. He's obviously, the Chiefs' run game has been a problem, as we've talked about. That's bad news. Trevor Siemian, though, is over 3,000 yards. Alex Smith is just under 3,000 yards. Siemian has 16 touchdowns this year, 8 picks. Alex Smith has 12 and 6. Demaryius Thomas, the leading rusher for the Broncos, he only has just a little over 1,000 yards right now and 5 touchdowns on 83 receptions. For comparison, Travis Kelce leads the Chiefs with 73, 957, and 3 touchdowns. Looking back to what the Broncos did or didn't do against the Patriots, the Broncos did the thing the Chiefs do, which is not score in the second half. In fact, they only scored a field goal in the first quarter, never scored again. They did hold the Patriots to 16 points. The Broncos' defense is still phenomenal, but they couldn't do anything against a defense that, to my estimation, is definitely worse than the Chiefs. You want to look at what they did to Tom Brady? Tom Brady completed half of his passes. He was 16 for 32, 188 yards, no touchdowns. The only touchdown in this game was a LeGarrette Blount one-yard rush. He didn't even lead the team in rushing. He just got in for that goal line carry. Trevor Siemian threw 40 times for 282 yards and a pick. He's exploitable, obviously. The Broncos couldn't do anything on the ground. Justin Forsett led the team in rushing in this game with 10 carries for 37 yards. The Broncos' run offense is not a problem, and I'm not concerned about the Chiefs' run defense in this game. They have to just account for it a little bit, which they can do. I don't think Justin March is going to even be practicing yet, so he won't be back for this game unless something crazy happens that I don't understand, which is, in fairness, totally possible. But if March isn't back, which I don't think he will be, the inside guys will be fine. DJ Alexander and Ramiq Wilson will hold up enough, although Ramiq Wilson really struggled against the Titans. That's going to be fine, and the Chiefs secondary is going to be good enough to keep Trevor Siemian making mistakes. I would be really concerned if the Broncos score more than 17 points in this game. And that's a little bit of me overvaluing their most recent matchup, because 7 points at home to the Patriots is really bad, and I know there's a danger in that, in saying, like, well, if they perform better than they did last week against a worse team, then the Chiefs mean the Chiefs are worse, and that's not where I'm coming from. In fairness, they haven't scored more than 20 since the Chiefs game. The last three games, the Broncos scored 20 at Jacksonville, lost 13-10 in Tennessee, and then lost 16-3 at home against the Patriots. These last 2 weeks, they have combined for 13 points against the Titans and Patriots. Not two great defenses, although the Chiefs could have fooled you last week also. The Broncos are 8-6. They're third in the AFC West. They're almost definitely going to miss the playoffs. They're probably going to lose this week, and they're probably going to lose at home against the Raiders, although, man, I hope they don't. I think earlier I said the Chargers were playing the Raiders, and that's not what I meant. I was a dope if I said that. Because the Raiders are ending the year with the Colts this week and then at home against the Broncos. And I would love for the Broncos to knock off the Raiders. But the Chiefs have to win both their games now anyway, which, quite frankly, we shouldn't assume is going to happen. But, man, I'm upset about the two-seed thing. I mean, it would have been such a big deal to have a bye week and a home game, then the chance at another home game, or at least have, you know, just one game of playoff action up against your bodies whenever you're going to New England. And the Chiefs just aren't going to win in 3 road games and go to the Super Bowl. Like, that's just not going to happen. They're not going to win in Tennessee and then in Pittsburgh maybe. Oh God. And then in New England. That's not going to happen. Or I guess in Oakland probably. It would probably be in Tennessee, in Oakland, which are winnable games. But in Tennessee, in Oakland, and then in New England, it's not going to happen. God, that's so frustrating, because they could have skipped ahead to the New England part basically. Whatever. I'm so upset about the two-seed thing. It's one of the most frustrating things. One of the most frustrating things I can imagine. One of the most frustrating things I think I've witnessed as a Chiefs fan, which is saying something. The Broncos' offense has been really crummy. It's been real bad, except for the Chiefs game, where they put up 27 points going into overtime. They put up 25 against the Saints. And before that, it was 20, 27, 27, 21, or sorry, 13 against the Chargers. They've really struggled. Trevor Siemian is not very good. He can throw a couple deep balls, but I think the Chiefs will be able to hang with that. I have no faith in Eric Berry covering a deep ball. Hopefully he'll get his hands on a couple that might end up heading the other direction. But Marcus Peters and apparently Terrence Mitchell is for real, because, man, he's been fantastic. I'm not concerned about Philip Gaines or Steven. I'm not concerned about Philip Gaines coming back. I'm not concerned about Steven Nelson on the field. He's been pretty good, although he needed to punch that ball out of Delanie Walker's hands at the end of the game. Freaking dang it. The Chiefs should be able to really handle the Broncos' offense. If that doesn't happen, we're going to have some serious trouble here. And against the Patriots, I have such a hard time navigating and talking at the same time. It's my biggest weakness as a broadcaster here. Trevor Siemian was sacked 4 times against the Patriots. The Chiefs have to replicate that, and they certainly can, because whoever's playing right tackle is going to be begging for a beating. If it's Donald Stevenson or whoever else was getting beaten up on in the Patriots game before, in the Chiefs-Broncos game before he was taken out, I can't remember who it was before that, but Donald Stevenson came in and after and fared slightly better. And also, the Patriots protected Tom Brady pretty well, only 2 sacks for Brady, but he gets rid of the ball so fast. They ran the ball a lot against the Broncos, and it worked out okay. Only 16 points, but it did what they needed to. 18 carries for Deion Lewis, 17 carries for LeGarrette Blount. They were not afraid to grind the ball down on the Broncos. I don't know if the Chiefs are capable of doing that, though, frankly. I mean, if you want to give it to Spencer Ware on the left, then you can do that until the Broncos realize you're only running 3 plays over and over, which is slightly left, deep left, and then sweep left. But if the Chiefs can acknowledge that they can't run the ball to the right, just grind it a little bit with Spencer Ware. I'm guessing what they're actually going to be doing is running a lot of screens. I would expect a lot of screens in this game to sort of spread out your run game, get it away from your interior linemen. Like, Rolon Duvernay-Tardif is having a horrific year in the run-blocking game. Mitchell Schwartz has not been helpful in run-blocking. Pass blocking has been amazing. But a lot of screens to keep the ball spread out, to kind of have an extended run game, and to stay away from Von Miller. If you're throwing quick screens, you're not going to get Alex Smith killed in half a second. I would love to see some of those screens traded out for slants. A few screens here and there are fine by me, especially if they're going to Tyreek Hill or guys fast enough to do something with them, and if they're well blocked. But I would much rather see half of those screens turn into Travis Kelce slants. Because whenever Travis Kelce gets the ball, even 4 yards downfield, if the ball's there and hits him in the hands and he gets his head around without getting de-cleated, which is usually very doable because one thing Andy Reid does very well is scheme those guys open to where they're not getting de-cleated across the middle. He's not going to have him run across the middle whenever there's a Mike linebacker there playing a zone ready to murder someone coming across the middle. But if that pass gets to Travis Kelce's hands and there's any bit of space, there aren't many guys in the league better than Travis Kelce at throwing down that little slide wiggle move and then getting upfield some. I need to see more of those. You can throw some to Jeremy Maclin if you want, though. Man, he's been a disappointment this year. It's Travis Kelce and it's Tyreek Hill 1 and 2. It's Spencer Ware 3. And then you can work in Jeremy Maclin. I don't really want to see Albert Wilson on the field if I don't have to, unless he's running a fake punt back for a touchdown. Just small effectivenesses to keep making up boards. Small little effective things on offense should be enough to win this game. As long as Dee Ford and Justin Houston wake up, as long as both of them are healthy enough to get to the quarterback. And man, again, Justin Houston's really struggled. There was a GIF I saw, I can't remember who tweeted this, but they said it was an example of Justin Houston really struggling converting between being a power rusher and a speed rusher and trying to use both of those tools, and it's really been a struggle. And Dee Ford hasn't been on injury reports, I don't believe, but I have to believe that his injury, his hamstring injury, maybe is still giving him a little bit of trouble because the pass rush has just been abysmal. Marcus Mariota had all day on Sunday. And again, that game still wasn't about the defense. I think that's how this is going to play. I think the defense is going to do enough. I think Broncos are going to score 20 or fewer points here. And it's going to be up to the Chiefs to say, can we score 24 against the Broncos? Well, the Patriots just scored 16. That's not very good news. The way I would draw this game up to be a Broncos win would be, Chiefs can't run the ball. They're not moving the ball in the air at all because of the play calling and because of Von Miller. And we're looking at this game, and it's 13-10, or it's 17-10 Broncos. If I had to pick this game for the Broncos, I would say they'll win the 17-10 if they're going to win it. Because I have such deep-seated concerns about the Chiefs' offense. And, again, the Patriots just scored 16. But I think the Chiefs will get back to their ways of having a defensive and or a special teams score. I think that's going to happen, and it's going to be enough to keep jump starting them. The offense, as it currently is, will not win in the playoffs. It won't win meaningful games in the playoffs, but it might just be enough to get them there. At this point, I'm just praying for a Raiders loss somewhere, for an inexplicable Raiders loss. The Colts looked pretty good last week, but man, I'm not super-duper optimistic about that. But I would so love to see the Chiefs have a chance to have a week off and then to get a home game and then see what they could do. Because even though I just buried Alex Smith and Andy Reid in the first segment here, weird things happen in the playoffs, and if they could get to that place, I'd feel pretty good about it. One of the reasons that I'm so pessimistic now is because they have to get back there. And I don't know if this team has the firepower to do it. If the Chiefs can get some of those inexplicable big plays, if they can get a Tyreek Hill punt return, if they can get an Eric Berry pick six, if you can see something like that show up in this game, which they've done pretty well. The Chiefs have done pretty good at that this whole season. A couple games where they didn't do that very well were against the Bucks and against the Texans and against the Titans. And there's no saving the Pittsburgh game. If you can make that magic happen again here one time, then I think even this offense will do enough to win. I think the defense is going to do enough also. I have my concerns about the Broncos actually still having more explosive offense, even though they have no run game. And by having no run game, you can really sell out to stop Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. But right now, the Chiefs don't have much of a run game either. So I'm sure if you went and found some Broncos podcast, Roughing the Punter or something, if you went and listened to the Roughing the Punter podcast about the Denver Broncos, they are probably saying all these same things, but picking the score to be a Broncos victory. So I don't know if I gave a final score earlier. I've been talking too long and I forget things. But I'm going to say the Chiefs win this game 20-17. I don't love it. I'm excited to watch it. I hope dearly that I'm right. But even then, I'm still kind of like rolling my eyes a little bit at all of this. Because as long as the Chiefs wrap up one of these last two games, they're probably going to make the playoffs. I think they actually would definitely make the playoffs if they win 11 games. And I'm just kind of sick of this wild card garbage, honestly. Especially if you're a team with 11 or 12 wins. I'm sick of the wild card stuff. And I don't even just want a home game. I want a home game after a bye week. I want a home game that you win that game when you go to the AFC Championship game. That's what I want. And they blew it last week. They blew it. It just gets gone now. Unless the Raiders screw up, which, so far this season, the Raiders have, quote-unquote, screwed up three times, twice against the Chiefs, and once back in Week 2. So, since Week 3, the Raiders have only lost to the Chiefs. And it's not about can the Chiefs win in Oakland on the road, in the playoffs. I mean, that's fine. They could do that again. Sure, of course they could. I don't want them to have to be there. I want a bye week. I want the Chiefs to play the Raiders at home. I want that game again. But for that to happen, the Chiefs have to win two games in a row, and the Raiders have to either lose on Saturday afternoon. I just realized that game's on a Saturday. That's bizarre. On Christmas Eve, they have to lose to the Colts at home, or they have to lose at Denver on New Year's Day at 3:25. And I would be so excited if that happened. One quick bit of news that just popped up here on Twitter from Cameron Wolf, at Cameron Wolf, says Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall said he has a grade 2 hamstring strain, a slight tear. He's only run at 50% to avoid further tear, likely out on Sunday. So that's a nice little boost maybe for the Chiefs' run game. One less linebacker to have to deal with, but that just came down the line, so there's that. And I want to say thank you to people who support this show at Patreon.com. At Patreon.com/RTK, you can give a little bit of money to help support this show. It's like a virtual tipping and rewards website, and the rewards are you give a little bit of money, and I will give you a shout-out for your Twitter handle, and you can ask any question you want, and I will always answer it. The $20 group, Ty Declare, at Ty Declare 44, Andy Simpson, Randy Singh, at Randy_Singh_, Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy, and Derek Vaughn at D_Vaughn88. $10 group is Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander and Todd Sullivan at Tito Solovino. $5 group is Josh Beadle and the return of Ben Rahman and Jason Essler, a couple of OG Patreon supporters who are now back on board. Glad to have you guys back. Glad to have all of you help supporting this show. I appreciate it so immensely that you're willing to give a little bit of your own financial support to support this show. It means very, very much to me. Also, you can support the show by sharing it with your friends on Twitter, on Facebook, in real life. You know, this Christmas, whenever you're getting around with your family, you're talking about the Chiefs. You know what I heard? I heard this thing on this Ruffling the Kicker podcast. Let me subscribe. Give me your phone. Give me your phone right now. Uncle Jim, give me your phone. I'm going to subscribe to Ruffling the Kicker right now. I'm going to do it right this second. And you subscribe to the show for them, and then they hear the show forever, you know? Then they listen and enjoy the show, and they get to this part of the show, and they realize it was all an elaborate setup. And then Uncle Jim, and I know someone named Jim is listening right now. So Uncle Jim gets to this part, and all of a sudden he's in like a Twilight Zone episode. And if your name is Jim or not, or if you're a long-time listener or a first-time listener, I'm glad to have you here. Thank you for listening. The show is always this weird at this point. I wanted to bookend this show with a discussion similar to the one that I opened the show with. The last episode of Roughing the Kicker got a lot of discussion in the Arrowhead Addict comments, and one of the longer comments ended with this sentence, quote, "If this team doesn't progress over the next few years, then I'll start worrying about Reed. If this team doesn't progress over the next few years, then I'll start worrying about Reed." And I found that very curious. I found that to be a very interesting perspective, and I genuinely wonder if this is a perspective that you listening right now share. Because as I sit here, a few years in to the Andy Reid experience with the Kansas City Chiefs, I think that worry is justified already. But this comment was saying that, well, if, you know, in year six of Andy Reid, in his sixth season in Kansas City, at this point, surely with a second quarterback, in his sixth year, if they're not winning, if they're not in the Super Bowl, if they're not in the AFC Championship game, perhaps, then I'll start getting worried. And I find that very curious. I think in a lot of ways, I think we still, as Kansas City sports fans, if you're a Chiefs fan and a Royals fan, or just a Chiefs fan and a Cardinals fan, or just a Chiefs fan, don't care about baseball, whatever it might be, I think we in Kansas City still have a sort of insecurity, a sort of inferiority complex, like we're afraid to ask for too much from our sports teams. And I think the Royals changed that with their World Series appearance and then victory. This last season was a real disappointment for them. And people were okay saying, well, this year is a disappointment. That doesn't invalidate the good things. You can be critical of the Chiefs and not be throwing away any good memories. You can say this team's not good enough right now and still appreciate them winning a playoff game last year, maybe winning another one this year. The idea, though, that we just need to keep giving Andy Reid more time before we can start worrying, I think it's just moving too slowly. It's certainly moving too slowly for the speed of the NFL and the speed that NFL executives move at. We've seen growth from the Andy Reid Chiefs up until this season. Last year was the most conservative, positive step the Chiefs could have taken. They had to win a playoff game last year. This year, it's beyond that. Gotta be a second-round team, at least. But I said as soon as the Chiefs beat the Raiders the second time, as soon as they became the two seed, I said this season, now the expectation for this season is an appearance in the AFC Championship game. Anything less than that is a disappointment. Because they had the two seed, and then all they needed to do to get to the AFC Championship game would be to win a home playoff game. That's it. That's the only thing. To win a home second-round playoff game. And now we're looking at this team saying, well, if Andy Reid's not doing that in 3 years, then I'll start getting worried. And I think your concern is justified now. I think your expectations are justified now. I think the expectations should not change. The Chiefs have made it harder on themselves now, but this team still in my mind, needs to be the second best team in the AFC for me to say, oh, this was a successful season. If they're stagnant from last year, I think it'll be a disappointment. If they win one road playoff game and lose in the next round, it's a disappointment. And yeah, you can say, well, they didn't have Charles either year, but they got Justin Houston back, they went and signed Mitchell Schwartz, Jeremy Maclin second year here. Alex Smith has regressed, I think you could probably say. I think the defense in a lot of ways has gotten better. Eric Berry's had a great year. Marcus Peters has had a great year. Chris Jones got added to the mix. You lost Sean Smith. That's worked out okay. The defense has been very, very good. I don't know how you can say, all right, a few more years and then I'll start getting worried. You should start being concerned now. You should start being critical now and start expecting better things now. Higher expectations breed higher performance. That's just how it works. It works that way in school, in profession, in the professional world. And I think it works that way for sports teams. The worst thing that a fan base can be for the sake of the team is apathetic. If Clark Hunt, Andy Reid, John Dorsey, if they can look out at Chiefs Kingdom, this like wonderful, passionate fan base, if they look out at us and they say, all right, win a playoff game every year, they're happy, the team's happy, we'd like to do better, but we've got to keep, as long as we keep winning a playoff game every year, we're not going to have any problems selling out Arrowhead. We're not going to have any problems selling merchandise. As long as they're a top four AFC team, this is going to work out fine. Even if they're not consciously walking through that, I think that seeps into your mindset. And I think that's really, really damaging. I think in Seattle, everyone there knows the expectations are Super Bowl appearance. I think in New England, the expectations are absolutely Super Bowl appearance. In Dallas, after all of those years of disruption, even whenever the team was pretty good, this year they go and they make a big move and draft a running back at number 4 overall. They end up sticking with the backup quarterback because he's winning, even though I think Tony Romo might actually still be the better quarterback. I digress for now. They're making these big moves. They're taking these risks because the expectations are better, are higher than what they'd previously been. So I don't have a full manifesto to give to you today about that. I just think that's something we should be thinking about. The Chiefs doing anything less than appearing in the AFC Championship game, I think, should still be a disappointment this year. And I think you should still be concerned about Andy Reid. We're seeing his weaknesses. We're seeing this roster's weaknesses. We're seeing Alex Smith's weaknesses. See those weaknesses, criticize them, be smart as you evaluate them, and then try to figure out where the Chiefs need to go from here. There's no harm in that. I mean, if you would rather just as a fan be blindly optimistic, that's okay. That's actually okay with me. I'm not that way on any level. I don't think I really can be that way. I think I watch too closely and think about it too much to just be like, oh, everything's probably going to be fine, because it's not going to be fine. Like, you watch some other football teams and you say, oh, that's what winning looks like. I mean, even the Patriots, who are imperfect, are just, what's like watching a different sport sometimes. Watching the Raiders are like watching a different sport sometimes. This year's Raiders team, they make things happen. And you can say the Chiefs do also. I don't want to discount what the Chiefs have actually successfully done, because they've done really good things this year. They've made plays. But there's a difference between just making plays and actually feeling like a winning football team. And the Chiefs had a stretch there. But there are always these stumbling blocks. There's the stumbling block of the Bucs game and the Titans game. You look up and you say, oh, the Chiefs are the 5th seed. And they've got to beat the Broncos at home and the Chargers on the road to avoid maybe slatting to the 6 or to have any chance of getting back up to the 2. I read that comment and that's just something that kind of stuck in my head. I wanted to talk about it a little bit there, so I hope that makes sense. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Not that you shouldn't have a reason for optimism, but there's no reason to wait a few years to start worrying about Andy Reid. He's been building this program. He and John Dorsey, they've built this roster, they've built this team. They picked Alex Smith. They've had their draft picks. There are a lot of good things. But I'm not willing to give Andy Reid 6 years to build. And last year was good. Last year winning one playoff game was good. This year it needs to be two. Year after this, either they need to, it needs to be with Alex Smith and they need to be winning the AFC Championship game, or maybe you give them a little bit more slack if they're trying to groom a new quarterback. Or maybe you have a Dak Prescott expectation. So you should be able to bring in a rookie and win your division. Or maybe you think they need to bring in Drew Brees. Say, bring in Drew Brees, and you need to win the division with Drew Brees. Or Tony Romo, or Jay Cutler. Oh, no, not Jay Cutler. Oh, that makes sense. Don't wait to be critical. Look at what you're watching. Watch it closely. Think about it. Assess it if you want to be this way. Tear it apart a little bit. Put it back together. Look at Andy Reid. Look at Alex Smith. Look at John Dorsey. Look at Clark Hunt. Look at the offensive line, the defensive line, the secondary, the backfield, the receivers. Be critical. Critique what you're looking at. Then you identify the weaknesses of what's going on around you. You identify the weaknesses of Andy Reid, and then you're able to say, you know what, I am worried about Andy Reid. It's 2016. We're going into 2017. I don't really know how good this Chiefs team is still. That worries me. Andy Reid's track record here so far worries me. The Chiefs this season worry me. I don't think you have to wait any more time at all before you start really assessing what's going on around you. That's going to do it for this episode of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on Blog Talk Radio and on ArrowheadAddict.com. I'm your host, Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter at JBBriscoe. You can like the show's Facebook page. Just search Roughing the Kicker or search Joshua Briscoe on Twitter if you want to follow me there. If JB Briscoe is too hard to remember, doesn't really matter one way or the other. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas with your friends and family and the Chiefs. I hope the Chiefs have a wonderful Christmas, probably more than anything. And your entire holiday season, I hope, is filled with joy and good times and Chiefs victories and Raiders losses. I'll be back sometime after Christmas, probably on Tuesday, if I had to put my finger on it right now. Try to have a Tuesday show after the Chiefs-Broncos game. We'll look at where the Chiefs are headed, what the Raiders did, what the AFC is shaping up to be like, and we'll discuss exactly how many Christmas cookies we think Andy Reid consumed this year. Happy holidays. Thanks for listening. Bye, Mom.
Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?